Blog Talk Radio.
Episode 7, and the name of the show is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, The Sheepdog Saga, The Encore Presentation. Again, I'm your host, Tony Smith. Basically, the situation was that we were censored last week when we tried to put on this show. And because we were the first to bring this out here at the Green News Network. So, of course, Facebook and other outlets censored us. You know, I'm in Facebook jail right now because of last week. I got one more day in there and then I'm out. So welcome, everybody. Want to welcome everybody. If you can hear us from Facebook, thanks for listening in, if it's even working. From YouTube, from BitChute stream, as well as Periscope and all of our social media networking sites. Want to thank all you guys for listening in. We definitely appreciate that. So we're going to get right into it. I just want you guys to listen to the MSM narrative of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is the mainstream media's take on Cortez. So I want you guys to take a listen to this, okay? Here we go.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a 28-year-old political newcomer, beat a veteran politician in New York's Democratic Party congressional primary election, a shocking upset within the Democratic Party. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a Democratic socialist, won 57.5% of the vote, while her opponent, Joe Crowley, had 42.5%. Crowley has represented New York's 14th district since 1999 and has been touted as a potential future Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Okay, so that is the mainstream media's take on it. And, of course, they believe it was a political upset. Well, let's hear her counterpart, who also calls himself a democratic socialist. So let's listen to him. And you know who I'm talking about, old Bernie Sheepdog Sanders himself. So let's listen to what the mainstream media has to say about old Sheepdog Sanders. Let's take a listen.
Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator, thanks for joining me. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We have to start with this political earthquake overnight and what it means more broadly. This win by Ocasio-Cortez, what should it tell people like Nancy Pelosi? Should they be afraid? Should incumbents everywhere be concerned?
Now, I think that's not quite the right question. I think what it should tell the American people is that when you have candidates like Alexandria who have the guts to talk about the real issues impacting people's lives, she campaigned on health care as a right, not a privilege, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, demanding the wealthy start paying their fair share of taxes, making public colleges and universities tuition-free. That is an agenda that will resonate all over this country. Now, she happened to have the added advantage of being an extraordinarily good candidate. And despite being outspent 10 to 1, she was able to run a strong grassroots campaign and win. The message here is that when you have candidates who are talking about the real issues impacting working families and are running grassroots campaigns, they'll win in New York City. Yesterday, last night, they won in Maryland. Ben Jealous pulled off an upset, won a major victory to become the Democratic candidate for governor. We're seeing this happening all across the country.
And Senator, I guess the question, it was a big night for progressives. There's no doubt about that. But are voters also saying they want a fresh set of eyes to come to Washington and to help set the agenda? The messaging aside here is part of this saying, look, we want some newcomers.
No, I think that's media hype. I think what people want, what Alexandria did, she's 28 years old. That is fantastic. And we're seeing a whole lot of young people getting involved in our revolution organization, getting involved in grassroots campaign. But what's most just,
while he's talking about getting involved in our revolution, there's a article out there of him distancing himself from our revolution because of them protesting Hillary Clinton running for president. And one of my great sources, who's always right, has told me that Hillary Clinton is in fact running for president in 2020. And then if you even look at the Dick Morris when he weighed in on if she was going to run for 2020. He said if she has a pulse, she's running. So, but it's kind of ironic that the Sheepdog Sanders, how he's spitting all this stuff, and we all know what he did. So he's all gung-ho for her, but we're going to show you who she really is here shortly, but let's continue.
She is young. What's most important that she is standing up for working families. You could have young people who are conservative. What we need now is a movement in this country, and it is happening, of saying that we should not be living in a country where the three wealthiest people now own more wealth than the bottom half of the American society. That's wrong. Those are the issues we should be talking about.
Senator, one of the things that was so striking when you take a look at the campaign that she ran, which undoubtedly will be studied for years to come, is that she didn't make this about President Trump. Take a listen when she was asked about this on Morning Joe earlier today.
They weren't personal fights with Donald Trump. They were making the counter-argument to his policies.
Right. I think that that's really the path forward. What we need to do is lay out a plan and a vision that people can believe in, and getting into Twitter fights with the president is not exactly, I think, where we're going to find progress as a nation.
So is her strategy the key to winning in Trump country, not only in 2018, but in 2020, to not necessarily be so focused on President Trump?
Well, that's just exactly what I said to you a moment ago. What she did is talk about the real issues facing her district, which happens to be a struggling working class district. So I think what Democrats have got to do is twofold. Number one, we do have to stand up to Trump's racism and his sexism and his homophobia and his xenophobia. You cannot allow that to pass. But more importantly, we need to lay out an agenda that says there is something wrong when we're the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all, that we have a president who wants to do away with the protections of people today who have pre-existing conditions. So if you have diabetes, if you have cancer, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to get health insurance. And the absurdity of the United States paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs while the drug companies make billions of dollars in profit. Those are the issues that will resonate.
Senator, when we listen to you, we're undoubtedly reminded of your own campaign. Your former campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, was asked about your ambitions. Are you going to throw your hat into the ring again? Take a listen to what he had to say, and then I'm going to ask you about this on the other side.
Okay, I don't even want to hear his mold that he allowed in his campaign. But anyway, that's Bernie Sanders. And he's sheepdogging it away. MSM loves him now. But let's take, and we know Bernie Sanders is a sheepdog. We know he's a part of the establishment. It's no big thing. But let's see if she is truly establishment. And now I'm going to read also an article to you about how she claims she's from the 14th District of New York and she won it. But in fact, she's actually from the 8th District of New York, which is the fourth richest district in the state of New York. And she's gone to the best high schools and colleges. Oh, but she's grassroots. Let's listen to what she had to say to a reporter on CNN as far as her support for Hillary Clinton and all of the power elite, as Sanders has supported Hillary Clinton as well. Let's take a listen.
In 2020, should you win in November, in 2020, can you say right now that you will unequivocally back the Democratic nominee in opposition to President Trump? Meaning, you know, if this were 2016, would it be a guarantee that Hillary Clinton would have gotten your vote?
Yeah.
Or do you foresee a reasonable scenario in which that wouldn't happen?
No, I mean, I think that we're just at a moment where we absolutely have to support the Democratic nominee against President Trump, absolutely, without question.
Absolutely, without question. Oh, did we hear that before in 2016? She even asked her if this was Hillary Clinton in 2016, would you support her? No doubt, without question, without question. Who are you working for? Let's find out. Let's take a look at her background, because the socialist, I forget the name of the site, but I'll find the name of the site here shortly, brothers and sisters. It's called WSWS. So let's take a look at that first, and then we're going to go and show you that Ojama Baraka, a Green, was supporting Andrea, who's the co-chair of the National Green Party, as well as the co-chair of the Colorado Green Party, and she was even supporting her and talking favorably about her, but at the same time, Andrea was saying that she was a sheepdog as well. But why even tout her at all? Let's check out this. This is from World Socialist website. Most Greens subscribe to this. Ocasio-Cortez on Meet the Press. Double talk, evasion, and disavowal of socialism. In the wake of her upset victory in last Tuesday's Democratic primary election for the 14th Congressional District of New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, has fallen all over herself attempting to reassure the ruling class that she represents no threat to its interests. Ocasio-Cortez defeated the fourth-ranking Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives and head of the Queens, New York Democrat Party, Joseph Crowley. 28-year-old former Bernie Sanders campaign operative handedly defeated the incumbent Crowley by presenting herself as a working class advocate and capitalizing on widespread disgust with the Democrat Party establishment. On Sunday, Ocasio-Cortez was a featured guest on NBC News Meet the Press program. her performance made clear why she has received such positive coverage from media outlets such as the New York Slimes, the Washington Compost, and most cable broadcast networks. On the same day as Ocasio-Cortez appeared on Meet the Press, the Times ran a fewer than four major articles on her, including a front-page report, the lead editorial, an op-ed column by Maureen Dowd, and a long, glowing feature by Michelle Goldberg under the headline, "The Millennial Socialists Are Coming." Meet the Press host Chuck Todd began by hailing Ocasio-Cortez as a giant killer, herald of a changing Democrat Party and a new spokesperson for the party's progressive wing. He then played a tape of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi dismissing Ocasio-Cortez's win as insignificant and inviting his guests to make a rejoinder. She demonstratively refused replying semi-coherently, "Well, I think that there are a lot of districts in this country that are like New York 14 that have changed a lot in the last 20 years and whose representation has not." At the conclusion of the interview, Todd came back to the question of Pelosi seeking to pin down Ocasio-Cortez as to whether she would support the removal of the right-wing incumbent as the leader of the House Democrats. Ocasio-Cortez replied, "You know, once again, I want to see the options on the table. First of all, I'm not even an elected member of Congress yet. Secondly, we need to see what is going on. I think that it's just premature for me to commit to any kind of decision on this. I was just elected on Tuesday, Chuck." Next, Todd asked whether Ocasio-Cortez would advocate a different course in opposing Trump's impending nomination for a far-right justice to the Supreme Court that the capitulatory posture adopted by the Democrat congressional leadership. Ocasio-Cortez attempted to evade answering with a round of double talk, but finally, under pressure from Todd, declared, "So I would like the Senate to delay, absolutely. We need to delay until after the midterm elections. That's my personal opinion." "No, that's your talking point that your handler gave you. And I think that at the very least, we are going to, if this appointment is going to happen, the very least we can do is delay the timeline in which women's health care is going to be taken away. Delay the timeline in which our civil rights could potentially be further eroded." Who did all the eroding of our civil rights? It's been Democrats. Democrats, Democrats, Democrats from the 60s to now. 50s, 40s even. Hell, the Civil War Democrats were against civil rights. And then Todd goes on to ask her what her definition of civil rights was and all of this, or definition of Democrat socialism and all of that. And she went on and talked about it. It was disgusting to say the least. So we'll listen to that. We'll listen to that that Meet the Press segment actually right now. So I'm going to have you guys take a listen to this. And all these links are available, brothers and sisters. I have all these for you about it. To check out her on the Meet the Press, because we just read it from World Socialist. So let's listen to what she has to say. Let's listen.
That sound you may have heard on Tuesday night was the sound of a political earthquake in New York City that was really felt more so in Washington. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a 28-year-old political neophyte, seemed to come out of nowhere to defeat Joe Crowley in a Democratic congressional primary. And Crowley was not just anyone. He's currently the fourth-ranking Democrat in the House, the party boss of Queens, and was seen by many as the next Speaker of the House if Democrats won the majority. Well, no more. It was a giant win for the progressive wing of the party. But as my colleague Steve Kornacki put it, as shocking as her victory was, the more you look at the changing face of the Democratic Party, the more you wonder, why didn't all of us see this coming? Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez joins me now. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're not a congresswoman-elect yet. You do have a general election, but it is a pretty strongly Democratic seat. So let me first start with something that Nancy Pelosi said about your victory earlier this week. Take a listen.
They made a choice in one district. So let's not get yourself carried away as an expert on demographics and the rest of that within the caucus or outside the caucus. It is not to be viewed as something that stands for everything else.
She was a bit defensive. A lot of people coming at her saying your victory means a lot more than just a primary win in the Bronx. How did you react to that?
Well, I think that there are a lot of districts in this country that are like New York 14, you know, with that have changed a lot in the last 20 years and whose representation has not. And it's not to say whether someone should be voted out or voted in, but I think it definitely speaks to perhaps us evolving in our messaging and at least how we do things. So I think that, you know, I do think that there are a lot of districts in America that are like New York 14.
I'm curious if Joe Crowley had found out you were, you know, thinking about running and he called you up and said, what am I doing wrong? What would you like to see from me? What would you like to see me do that would make you say, you know what, I'll stand down this cycle and see what you do?
What would I say to him?
What would you have said to him if he had asked you for advice about how to win your vote before you decided to run against him?
I think the problem is that that never happened. And the fact that that is not happening.
Meaning you never saw him in your mind. The district never saw him. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think without going too hard, because the congressman has had, you know, phenomenal service in our community, I do think that there was certainly a lack of presence. And that was a big part of my win. There was, I think, a lack of listening on the ground, a lack of going to the grocery store and saying, hey, how are you doing? And that is an important part of representation because we have a lot of work that we have to do here in D.C., but that work needs to be rooted in the communities that we have been elected to represent.
Some of your energy and some of the energy behind you and some of the energy behind the other progressives has to do with almost a tone and tactics of the Democratic leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, what was your reaction to Senator Cantwell's earlier today and how she described how she would like to fight on the Supreme Court?
Well, I think that what's going on is that there, especially with the Supreme Court, we have senators and we have folks trying to figure out the strategy. But in the meantime, the messaging isn't as clear to the communities that we're trying to represent. Are we fighting or not? And I still don't have quite a...
What do you want to say?
You know, for me, I'm a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always one for a fight, especially when we see what the GOP has done. I feel like they're kind of gaslighting the country, where when they want to fight, when they want to bend and break the rules and stretch the Constitution to its limits, they'll do it. But when they're on the other side of the table, it's, whoa, decorum. Let's.
So do you want Democrats to borrow some of those tactics? Do you think that's the tricky game here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, two wrongs make a right.
And I do see the point that you're making, like the consistency point. And I think from my point of view, I kind of look at it more like soccer. You know, what are our positions right now? And this Supreme Court seat is extremely serious. We have a president. There is a federal investigation going on with direct implications to the presidency. And that presidency is talking about nominating a Supreme Court pick that is going to essentially hear this case out. This is a very unusual time in this country. When is the last time that a president has been in this position?
So what do you want Senate Democrats to do that you didn't? Socialism.
Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of democratic socialist?
Well, for me, again, and there's so much focus on this endorsement, but I also think it's important that an important part of my strategy in winning was building a broad-based coalition of people. So while there's a focus on this one aspect of the coalition, and to me, you know, to answer your question, the definition of democratic socialism to me, again, is the fact that in a modern, moral, and wealthy society, no American should be too poor to live. And to me, that means every working-class American in this country should have access to dignified health care, should actually be able to see a doctor.
hints here, socialism, and they tie it to sort of ugly governments
right.
from Europe and the past.
Yeah.
How do you sell this to an older generation?
Well, I think as the clip from Schumer showed earlier, Democrats are a big tent party. You know, I'm not trying to impose an ideology on all, you know, several hundred members of Congress. But I do think that, once again, it's not about selling an ism or an ideology or a label or a color. This is about selling our values.
Are you a democratic socialist? Is that what you call yourself, or you don't want that label?
I mean, it's part of what I am. It's not all of what I am. And I think that that's a very important distinction. I'm an educator. I'm an organizer. And
I can't take any more of this. Disgusting. But you can see clearly that she's talking Democrat talking points, as clear as friggin' day. So another thing that happened is Ojama Baraka friggin' supports her. He's a Green Party member, and Ojama Baraka is like me, who believes that Greens should have nothing to do with the Democrats and should not even be associating or supporting them. What we should be doing is exposing them at every turn, because they need to be destroyed. Ojama Baraka said this June 29th, as a target of the Russiagate BS, I can get past Ocasio-Cortez's unfortunate comments on that BS, can too. Yeah, it should be criticized, but I can't dismiss her because of it. Her voice is a radical Puerto Rican sister from the working class, which is important. Excuse me, Ojama Baraka, she is not from the working class. And then Ojama Baraka kind of backstepped, but even Black Agenda Report was supporting Ocasio-Cortez. Ojama walked it back a little bit on July 4th when he said a sophisticated, nuanced analysis of Ocasio-Cortez's campaign acknowledged agency of the people who supported campaign but demand she drop the pro-empire language and Democrat Party talking points on Russiagate. Stop tiptoeing on independence for Puerto Rico. So they kind of walk that back a little bit after the backlash that the Green News Network and other outlets caused. And then you can go to Black Gender Report. I want to read this. This is one of our affiliates at AmericanEveryman.com, and they did an article on this, and we're going to read that article quick. We're about out of time. So bear with us. This is Ojama Baraka pushes hashtag Dementor with Ocasio-Cortez. The Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez aspect of the Dementor plan has been long in the making. It was a response to the failure of Bernie Sheepdog Sanders' effort at the Unify Tour with Tom installed by Obama Perez to bring us back into the warm fold of the rigged Democrat Party. Hashtag Dementor is as callous as it is cynical, and it is being pushed by everything from Morning Joe to Vice and by everyone from Joy Reid to Ken Kuger. The incredibly disproportionate coverage of the District 14th race in New York tells you all you need to know about it. Also of import is the extremely dishonest presentation of this candidate just as a girl from the Bronx, when in fact she's not from the Bronx. She's from the 8th richest county in the entire country, and she attended an elite high school in a plush, leafy suburb and then went to a near Ivy League school and had a job waiting for her on Capitol Hill when she left there. How many Puerto Rican girls from the Bronx can boast of a resume like that? On Vice, Ocasio-Cortez made it painfully clear what the point of her victory was when she said there is plenty of room for Democrat socialists in the Democrat Party the other day. She did the Late Show with Stephen Colbert the day after his propaganda campaign with Jon Stewart, and then she proceeded to run over to Morning Joe and The View. How many of your congressional nominees got that kind of treatment? She is the fresh new face of the old Democrat Party. She is a rebranding campaign, just as Sanders was. In TV land, it's called retooling. When they bring a new cast member to try to appeal to a different market in an effort to jump the shark and revitalize diminishing ratings, this is what they do, which is exactly what the Democrat Party needs right now, since they refuse to make real changes in the wake of their ridiculous loss to a guy who pretended to get knocked out at WrestleMania. Ocasio scrubbed her website of her anti-war message, and she also scrubbed it of any mention of her support of net neutrality. She did an interview with The Intercept where she talked about Russian aggression and in Europe and elsewhere, Ukraine, Syria being the implications, and also mentioned the lies about Russia planning to hack the French election, which never happened, and them interfering in ours, which also never happened, because it was not a hack, it was a leak, which is why Seth Rich is dead. So, Ojama Baraka, if you can't see all this stuff and you're supporting her, who are you working for, brother? So we need to get off of this. If you truly a Green, Greens don't support Democrats. I don't care who they are. That situation. Now, she's a Justice Democrat, too, because what we read, that Cenk Uygur even supports her. But who did Cenk Uygur support in 2016? Hillary Clinton. So he establishment. You know who funds him? He got $20 million to support the Hillary Clinton campaign and $20 million from a venture capitalist investment into his organization. And he's also the co-creator of the Justice Democrats. The other creator is Zach Exley. Now, Cenk Uygur's, the Young Turds, they go back to the media consortium who first funded them, and who funds Media Consortium is Media Matters. And who fund Media Matters? Open Society Foundation. And who funds the Open Society Foundation is George Soros. And guess who else endorsed Ocasio-Cortez? MoveOn.org. Guess who funds MoveOn.org? Media Matters. Of course, guess who funds Media Matters, as I said earlier? The Open Society Foundation, which is created and funded by George Soros. So she goes back to George Soros. She's a Soros operative, just like the rest of the Democrats. Even Tom Perez supported her in that regard. So I'm going to read you Zach Exley to show you he is who he is, and then I'll show you he's from the Open Society Foundation. And I'm going to read that. Okay, Zach Exley is a political technology consultant, previously employed as chief revenue officer, formerly chief community officer at Wikimedia Foundation. Before that, he worked at ThoughtWorks, a global IT consultancy. He is also the co-founder and former president of the New Organizing Institute, a progressive political technology training organization. Politico reported in August 2015 that Exley had joined the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign. So Exley is the handler for George Soros, the oligarch of the Democrat Party. So he was a part of the Sanders sheepdog campaign as a senior advisor responsible for digital communications. He is currently part of the Justice Democrats, a co-founder. Oh. In 2004, he was the director of online communications and organizing on John Kerry's campaign. So he was Kerry's handler. And according to British reports, he directed internet operations for the UK Labour Party re-election campaign in 2005. Also, actually was organizing director at MoveOn.org, again, which is funded by George Soros, and Exley is a senior fellow at the
the Open Society Foundation. So Lexi was organizing director at MoveOn.org during the group's campaign to prevent the Iraq War and during its controversial involvement with the Dean campaign, Howard Dean. So he was simultaneously dealing with the Kerry campaign and the Howard Dean campaign in 2004. Is that not a conflict of interest? I believe it is. He was criticized for that, for rigging the Move On primary in favor of Dean. Oh, so there's rigging. Oh, guess who else he helped rig an election for? Prior to working on Move On, Exley created the political parody website, gwbush.com. And, you know, he's trying to claim to be against the Republicans, but he is a sheepdog handler. After the 2016 United States presidential election, Exley, along with other members of the 2016 presidential campaign of Bernie Sanders, Chink Huger of the Young Turks, Kyle Kulinski of Secular Talk, all created the Justice Democrats in an attempt to reform the Democrat Party to take on President Donald Trump. And this is where you get all of that propaganda from. This guy is the handler. Okay, now let's just read about him being a part of the Open Society Foundation, and then we'll go ahead and close out the show because we're about out of time. I did want to show you also that that Obama's boy, who's the chairman of the DNC, Perez, he also endorsed her. But this is from the Open Society Foundation. Zach Exley is an online organizing strategist currently serving as chief community officer at Wikimedia Foundation and a strategy consultant at ThoughtWorks. As an Open Society senior fellow, he was based in Missouri, where he worked to identify leaderless organizing models that would enable local leaders, activists, and social service providers to mobilize diverse constituencies that do not normally work together. In other words, he's trying to find a coalition that they can use to prop the Democrat Party up, because everybody knows the Democrat Party is not for the people. And the only way they can win is to try to get these organizations and manipulate the population to think they actually have support when in fact they don't. So that's what we're dealing with, brothers and sisters. That is the reality. She's nothing but a sheepdog. Now, I'm going to try to get this Perez thing on quick, and then after that we'll go ahead and close the show out. So this chick is straight from the establishment, manipulated to you as a grassroots candidate when in fact she is not. You know what's grassroots? The Green Party. And that's why we need to hold our leaders accountable, like Ajama Baraka, for supporting sheepdogs, and David Cobb and all of the sheepdog people. What we have to do is get that Liberty Tree Foundation away from the Green Party. That Liberty Tree Foundation is the slush fund, just as the Clinton slush fund, the Clinton Foundation. The Liberty Tree Foundation is a Green Party version of that. Simple as that. We need to get rid of it. Now let's listen to DNC Chair Tom Perez.
What else happened last week? There was a primary in several states, your state, home state of Maryland, and also up in New York, where the fourth most powerful Democrat in the United States Congress, Congressman Joe Crowley, was knocked out by a young woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, 28 years old, never ran for office before. Big progressive, calls herself a Democratic socialist, actually, like Bernie Sanders did. She was a Bernie Sanders supporter. And in Maryland, Ben Jealous, another strong progressive, wins the Democratic nomination for governor. What's this tell you about where the Democratic Party is going today?
Well, my daughters, I have three kids, two of whom are daughters. One just graduated college, one is in college, and they were both texting me about their excitement over Alexandria, because, you know, she represents the future of our party. She ran a spirited campaign. I have great respect for Joe Crowley. Joe Crowley is a good Democrat. He was one of the sponsors of the Medicare for All bill. He's fought the good fight.
Oh, so did you hear what he said? She's the future of our party. Oh, she's the future sheepdog of the party. So that's it, brothers and sisters. That's the show. Ocasio-Cortez is nothing but a sheepdog, just like Bernie Sheepdog Sanders. Simple math, brothers and sisters. So I hope you all enjoyed the show. I hope we were able to get the show to broadcast. I'm going to check that and see, but hopefully it worked out. Like I said, we're being censored and demonetized, so please donate at our GoFundMe account. All you have to do is put Green News Network, Bing Green News Network, and funding or donations, Green News Network and donations, and you'll find all our donation sites. Please donate. We are demonetized. We are actively being censored. And when you listen, like, share, subscribe, view, follow, and donate, you help us continue this fight. So, again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time, we'll see you later, everybody.
Anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls with my dress in their summer clothes. I have to turn my head until my darkness goes. I see a line of cars and they are painted black. With flowers and my love hope never to come back.